You're listening to the Nightlife Podcast with Indira Naidu.
Well, tonight our design historian, Michael Bogle, is delving into the uniquely Australian history of the Jaffel iron, apparently invented in Bondi in the middle of the last century. Jaffel's the new cooking sensation, read a newspaper advertisement from that year. Well, it was described as the Jaffel pressure toaster for making toasted sandwiches with any filling you fancy. Have you got one hiding in your cupboard somewhere? If you have, love to hear from you. The number to call is 1300 800 222, 1300 800 222. And Michael joins us now. Michael, welcome back to Nightlife.
Oh, it's always a good fun thing.
Well, firstly, just what was a Jaffel iron?
Oh, gosh. Well, it really hasn't changed since it was invented. A little cone-shaped clamshell on the end of a long handle. The handles protect you from getting burned. You put the clamshell metal device into the fire to heat it up, or I'm told that you can put the sandwich makings inside the clamshell, close it, and then put it in the fire. People have different techniques.
Okay.
So imagine it's a clamshell on the end of a long handle.
And when did they first appear on the scene, Michael?
Well, they're turning up for sale in 1949.
And how were they being described? How were they being sold?
Well, they're sold as a Jaffel pressure toaster rather than an iron. That surprised me a bit. And it was selling for 18 to 22 shillings. I found it lots of different prices, but mostly in that range. And I looked on the Reserve Bank inflation calculator, and they said that's about $53 in our currency today.
Okay, so you'd pick one up at Bing Lee for about $53.
That's right. Well,
the equivalent.
At Bing Lee, you'd have a hard time buying any toaster for under $100.
Really.
That's true. A Jaffel would be a bargain, I reckon.
And why was it called a Jaffel iron?
Wouldn't I love to know?
Yeah.
I polled everyone. Couldn't find any answers in the newspapers, any of the sort of cooking books of that particular period. Jaffel, don't know. I think they might have invented it. Maybe waffle, you think?
I see. I see the waffle Jaffel. Ah, right. Okay. Yeah, because it was a very, obviously, you know, it was a, well, this is what I wanted to ask you. It was something that everyone says was uniquely Australian, but was there anywhere in the world that were also got some sort of iron toaster sandwich like this, or were we the only ones doing it at the time?
Well, that's a really good question, because it turns up later in the United States where they call it a pie iron. But I'm told in India that there's a device like a Jaffel iron that's used to make street food, which people call in India the Mumbai sandwich.
Oh, right.
So India is an ancient culture, so it could very well be that pie iron or the Jaffel iron has been around for much longer than ours.
And, of course, it's called a Jaffel iron. Does that mean it was made from iron?
No. It's interesting that you asked that question, because I was really puzzled about that one, too. Why it's the iron? I think that the Jaffel iron comes from the idea of a branding iron, the idea of a brand like kettle with an iron that you heat in the fire. But it turns out it's made out of aluminium. That pyramid-shaped toaster head is all aluminium, and the actual handles themselves are made out of iron or steel.
Okay, so aluminium, but was that okay to heat up and heat sandwiches inside? I mean, were they durable?
Well, some people say that aluminium doesn't make good cookware because of the issue of aluminium coming loose on your, as you move the food through the pan itself, scraping and so on and so forth. But probably not in terms of digestion. But I did find a wonderful report where a woman in Port Kembla smacked her husband over the head with a Jaffel iron and knocked him out and kept him out of work for 2 weeks, according to the court documents. 1953.
Right, so they can be used as a weapon.
Yes, I suppose they've got a good swing on them. They're a bit short, I think, to really get some momentum. But you could do some harm, I suppose.
And when it came to promoting the Jaffel iron, how did companies promote them?
Well, they ran a series of ads in the newspapers where they asked people to put out their favorite Jaffel recipe. Mr. Don McKee, for example, from Ashbury, New South Wales, says, my favorite's chopped dates and sugared banana with coconut.
I actually wouldn't mind trying that.
I'll give you another one. Here's sugared bananas in lemon juice sprinkled with cinnamon.
Yeah, I'd even try that. I love experimenting, Michael, with putting lots of different things into my fillings. From savoury to sweet, you know, just throw anything that I eat, I basically think, why can't it be in a jaffle?
Well, I think it's a good point because if people have a new appliance, they think, well, what can I do with this? And I'm sure there must have been recipes that accompany it, but they said a new product, let's experiment.
Well, especially when I was a university student, and I think the very first appliance that I bought was a little bar fridge, and the second one was a jaffle maker, and I didn't have a stove or an oven or a microwave, so the jaffle maker was the only way that I could heat things. So everything that I had left over, I used to, old pizza, I'd throw it into the jaffle iron. And
oh, no.
It was like a little cooktop.
How did you heat it with a gas burner?
I just plug it in the wall.
It was an electric one. Oh, yeah. That's very nice.
Yeah, this is very, very sophisticated. I had electricity. Now, the jaffle iron, not only with very poor university students, also has an association with camping and an open fire. Was that an intended use? Was that how the manufacturers thought it would be used?
It sure was one of their promotions. So one of the first things they did was to get the jaffle iron in the hands of the scout movement. And then, of course, it was photographed, and it became the absolute must-have camping accessory.
Right. And how did they use it?
Well, in their case, what they do is my partner tells me, you butter the inside, put the product in, and then close it up and hold it over the fire until you can smell it burning. but according to the ads, you could use it over open fire using what people called then town gas when it first came out. That was gas was made by the city, or a methylated spirit stove. I bet there aren't many of those around.
That would have probably caused a few explosions. I understand too that there then went on to be developed this Jaffel pressure toaster. What was that?
Well, Jaffel pressure toaster gets mixed up with the name because that turned out to be the first name that they used to promote the product. But within a year or so, they went to Jaffel iron, and the Jaffel pressure toaster—that's hard to say—disappeared. So you never saw it as a toaster anymore.
And so, tell us about the person who was actually behind the invention—a chap called Dr. Ernest Smithers.
Yes, I'd love to know what kind of doctor he was. There are doctors who can make you sick, but I suspect he was a healthy...
can't you become a doctor in Jaffels?
No, you could probably become a doctor in cuisine, perhaps. Dr. Smithers had rooms in Macquarie Street, but exactly what kind of doctor he was, just don't know. But his name's on the patent in 1949,
Right. Which
expired 10 years later. So now his Jaffel iron has become a generic term like Kleenex or Xerox.
Tell me a little bit more about him. Where was he from?
He lived in Ramsgate Avenue in Bondi with his room, of course, in Macquarie Street, which meant to jump on the tram and away you go. He's described by the newspapers as a keen surfer, which leads us to his first known invention, a 1934 surfoplane, S-U-R-F-O-P-L-A-N-E. Which is an inflatable ribbed rubber mat used for surfing.
Right.
That's his first big invention. And pulled into this crazy surfer mat project is Kingsford Smith, the aviator, and Frank Knight, the famous real estate magnate. They were supporters and financiers.
It was an ancestor, wasn't it, of the Lilo, the surfer?
Yeah. I think most people call that thing a Lilo. When you think most Australians would describe that surfer plane kind of thing, if they saw it inside a tent, as a Lilo?
Yeah, I think we'd mainly call it a Lilo rather than the Lilo. Surfer plane.
Mm. I don't know. But there are pictures of people surfing with it.
Right, okay. You wouldn't try to surf with a Jaffel, would you?
Yeah. Would you try to surf with a Lilo?
I think I have. After a few too many Jaffels.
That's right. Depends on what you put in the jaff.
So he was quite an inventor, this Dr. Smithers.
Very clever guy, and very clever of him to hook in these people like Kingsford Smith or Frank Knight, for example. They had heaps of money and access to publicity.
And so after the triumph of his surfo plane, then Dr. Smithers turned his talents to this, you know, Jaffel pressure toaster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what happened to him next? Do you know? Well,
that's a puzzle. I mean, I really would love to know. Maybe some of your listeners have heard of Dr. Ernest E. Smithers. I'd like to know where he went. But I suspect that he might just have retired. Again, I don't know his age either. But after 1939, I can't find a single notice of him. But he did have some very serious family problems, which might have made him change his name or change his state even. Mm. He ducked out on his wife, Miss Vera Smithers, and their children. And all this gets reported in lurid detail in the red topper of the day, Sydney Truth, which is a pretty scandalous newspaper. And I'll just read you just one little bit from the transcript of the trial.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Smithers told the court, "I want to remind Dr. Smithers that you have left me alone with your mother and the children. You owe us a duty."
Ah, and he skipped town.
He's gone. I think the next invention that he might have come up with is the invisibility cloak.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that explains why he wasn't heard or seen of again. In terms of Jaffels and then, of course, this wonderful legacy that he's left, particularly Australia as a culture, because I think nearly every Aussie household, if they don't have the original Jaffel irons, they certainly have the electric Jaffel makers.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of our food culture and what we eat and how we eat and how we snack is around the Jaffel maker. Do you think Dr. Smithers would be surprised that, you know, so many Australian homes now have one in their cupboards?
I think given his abilities and his foresight, and particularly, say that surf mat, for example, I think he was a bit of a visionary. He had an idea of what things could do and how they could be repurposed, redeveloped, and reappear in other generations. Yeah, I think he'd probably think, oh, yeah, of course.
And can I ask you, Michael, I mean, I know that your heritage is from, not from Australia, but did you grow up with Jaffels or Jaffel makers yourself?
No. Before I came to Australia, I'd never seen a Jaffel iron.
Yeah.
Waffles, yes. Jaffel iron, nope.
And have you been won over in your in your latter years? Right. So do you have a favourite filling?
Oh, I hate to say this, really, but beans out of the tin with tin corn.
Ah.
That's awful, isn't it?
No, I've never tried that. Nothing's awful. This is the thing about Jaffel. Everything is acceptable. Whatever you put into a Jaffel is acceptable. One of the things I've started doing, Michael, is rather than just putting, because I'm when it comes down to it, quite simple. I just like one or two different types of sharp cheese inside my Jaffel. Mm. But what I've started to do is I grate cheese on the outside. So I lay that down first, and then I put the bread, a little bit of cheese inside, and then the next piece of bread, and then cheese over the top. So when you close the Jaffel, you get this crunchy, crispy outer cheese crust around your bread, and then the oozy, melty cheese inside.
Not a bad idea at all. The crusty bit sounds very appealing.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it really gets a lovely umami feeling, a taste of it. I love it. Mm. So there you go. That's Jaffels. I think a lot of people will be going, right now, I feel like a Jaffel.
That's right. Or asking, thinking, where's my Jaffel iron?
Yeah, where's my Jaffel iron? I would love to hear from you. If you've got a Jaffel iron in the cupboard and want to share the stories of your Jaffel making days with us, the number to call is 1-300-800-222. Michael, thank you so much for joining us with the history of the Jaffel iron.
Great fun. Thanks a lot.
Michael Bogle, our design historian, taking us through the history of the Jaffel iron.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.